عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها، صدق الله العظيم. اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير، بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي، آمين. It was an attempt that this be a very informal, unannounced gathering in which, as I've mentioned to some of our brothers, that the intention was just to revise some past lessons of ours that may have forgotten as far as practice is concerned, or just to remind ourselves once again of those nasihats and those words of wisdom that we heard from our seniors. So that was what this program was supposed to have been about. There wasn't supposed to have been any announcement of any nature. But sometimes when Allah Ta'ala wills something, it is beyond our control. And muhabbat is also such a thing. Muhabbat, when a person has, then that, as it's mentioned, that muhabbat can make a person move mountains. So here also, it was the muhabbat of some of our brothers, and due to that, an announcement was, or some messages were sent, and it reached many. May Allah Ta'ala accept the ikhlas and sincerity and the muhabbat. May Allah Ta'ala make this a means of whomsoever is going to be attending to gain the closeness and the muhabbat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Just one or two things. There's nothing prepared as such. There are a few things that are in mind. Whatever Allah Ta'ala puts amongst these things, we will discuss. This tawfiq that Allah Ta'ala has given for us together, it is no doubt from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's side. Allah Ta'ala gives the ability, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives the tawfiq and the guidance to engage in those actions that are pleasing to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So therefore, everything should be attributed to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Our presenting ourselves here, our speaking and our hearing, all by the fadl and grace of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And when we attribute everything to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, which is a sign of ikhlas, then we find that Allah Ta'ala gives barakat in that action, in that amal. Our akabirin mention that the difference between us and the people of the past, those salikin of the past, or those people that searched for Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in the past, is this sifat and is this quality of ikhlas. There was a time when people were embodiments of ikhlas, and then as time went along, you find that this is one quality and one sifat that began decreasing to the extent that today in many of our actions we totally lack this important quality. And therefore our Kabirin mentioned as well that there may be some outward way if you look at the a'mal and the actions and the deeds. In quantity there may be very few or very little. If you have to weigh the a'mal and the actions, very little. But because of the ikhlas that they possessed, because of the sincerity that they possessed, those few actions were very weighty in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the contrary, in myself, or sometimes in those who excel in ibadat, or who have plenty of ibadat to their credit, but because of the absence or lack of this quality of sincerity and ikhlas, we find the a'mal may be many, but there is no weight in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these a'mal because there is no sincerity. Now just one or two examples come to mind. That what type of sincerity the people of the past had, that everything was done solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although there may have been an announcement that it is the seal of Islah and whatever, I had the good fortune of speaking to my Hazrat Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Dawud Barakatuh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spare him a long life with afiyat wa salamati, and let Allah ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala, with his face be am and tam. So I just informed him that this is what has transpired. And I told Hazrat Dawud Barakatuh that I myself in need of Islah. So I mentioned to him to make dua. But then there was something else that came to mind. If Allah Ta'ala gives a tawfiq, we will discuss that. And that is the something that has been quoted with regards with Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali, in which he mentions these four ways and four methods of one making his Islah. InshaAllah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, we will discuss that as we go along. Whatever Allah ta'ala puts in mind, we will go along with that. So we are discussing about ikhlas and sincerity. That in those days, when a person had to go for his islah, and had to go to rectify himself spiritually, then what degree of ikhlas and sincerity they had, that under many odds, they still continued with the islah. And that was the result of the ikhlas and the sincerity that they had. There is a person, a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the name of Ali rahimahullah ta'ala. For his islah purposes, he went to a pious person, and when he got there, this person told him that, listen, this is not the place for you. You know how we would in denigratory terms tell the person, get out of here. So he sent him away from there. Whatever the signs may have had been that spoke from his appearance, or whether it was a test from the side of the Shaykh to see the sincerity and the talab in this person, like has happened and does happen in our mashayikh. Sometimes there is this period of testing. They will test the murid to see his degree of sincerity and talab, whether he is definitely, whether he wants to make his islah or not. Today, unfortunately, the condition is such that if the Shaykh has to mention a few harsh words for the islah of the murid, then he becomes upset, becomes angry. And this is the person that is saying that, now I'm going for my islah. Now, how can these two things gather? If the person is becoming angry with the Shaykh or what the Shaykh is mentioning, of course, provided it is a Shaykh, a Kamil, not just one of those bogus ones, as my Shaykh rahimahullah ta'ala used to mention, the bogus peers. If it is a Shaykh, a Kamil, and a person that is recognized, and he is giving some direction, and more especially these things happen when sometimes there's differences between maybe like brothers, or there's family disputes, or there's some business problem that's between partners, and a problem has to be taken or is mentioned to the Shaykh of one of the two, and the Shaykh makes a decision in favor of the other party, then see what happens sometimes. Then all that i'tiqad and all that relationship and everything else, that those praises that I had for my Shaykh, everything suddenly is gone, and it is no more words of praises, but it's rather words of insult. Now, so sometimes it is for these reasons that people are tested. It happened in our Akabirin as well. This incident of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali is quite well known, that when he was in the presence of his Shaykh, Hazrat Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, then a similar and famous incident happened, where Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gave him something to eat, that bhaji as we call it, and there were some other dishes there. But in the presence of Hazrat, I imagine who was Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, was such a great alim, an alim of deen. And Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali was not an alim in that sense where you have qualified alim, like we get going through a Darul Uloom or whatever. So Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali reaches the door of Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. There, Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, according to the system, begins, there's a period, a short period of test. And what is this test? The test is, now test comes in different forms sometimes to see the talab in a person. So Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali gives him the bread, not, and gives him the bhaji, and puts it on a roti and gives it to him, no plate, and in front of others. There's an alim. Now today go do such a thing to an alim, and as my Shaykh Hazrat Muhammad Mazhar Sahib Dawud Barakatuh mentions, the person will say that you are insulting me, and he will walk away from me. But now these are tests. So Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali presents this food in this form to the murid, Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And when he gives it to him like that, now from the corner of his eyes, he's observing the reaction of Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, that how is he reacting? Is there any sign on his face? Are there any apparent signs? Is the expression on his face changing to make one feel that he is upset with what has happened? Or why is he being insulted like this by giving the food like this to him? He just observed. But there was no facial change expression in the face of Hazrat Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And he actually expressed happiness that this too, somebody even remarked, but why are you giving him like this? So he said, no, this is how it will be given. And this was a test for Hazrat Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, which he passed. And he was more than excited, and he says that even this, if my Shaykh gives me, I'm not even worthy of this. If my Shaykh gives me this, I'm not even worthy of this. So this is also a ni'mat that my Shaykh is giving me this much. So this was a test that he passed. So these type of tests you will find that in the silsilas, sometimes you go through this. However, in these days, the mashayikh don't put us through these types of tests, knowing fully well our weaknesses. However, this person by the name of Ali, rahimahullah ta'ala, goes into the company of his Shaykh, and this is a type of comment that is passed, that, you know, get out of here, you're not supposed to be here, something of that nature. So immediately upon the instruction of the Shaykh, he left there. But now, sincerity, this is what we are discussing. This person that came was a sincere person. So as he's going, he's talking to himself and he's addressing himself. He says, listen, if this person is not prepared to keep you at his place, to allow you his company, then you are not worthy to be walking on the surface of this earth. You're not worthy of walking on the surface of this earth. You might as well be under the earth or in the earth rather than being above it. And He felt that now death was better for him than life. Now, let us keep this in mind, that these things, you know, we are discussing with those who are searching for the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these things cannot be discussed with everyone. Those that don't have this type of understanding, or don't have that type of desire, then these things may seem unpleasant for them, or for them to understand these things, to accept these things. But because we are from amongst those who say that we want, or claim, whose desire is the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, the ishq of Allah Ta'ala and that of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to rectify ourselves spiritually for our islah purposes, so these type of incidents will be mentioned. So however, these are the thoughts that are now troubling him, and he says to himself, it is now better to be dead than alive. Now look at the result of the sincerity. Whilst on this end, this is what he is communicating with himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs the sheikh and puts it into his heart that this person here is a sincere person. Now see where the direction is coming from. All because of the sincerity and the ikhlas of the person. Therefore, once again, keeping in mind what our mashayikh say, that the difference between those, the talibin of the past and of now, is this of ikhlas, sincerity. As some of our mashayikh mentioned, that today when a person sometimes goes to become bay'at to a person, then you ask him, why you want to become bay'at to this person? So he said, no, I may get khilafat. So where is islah of the person and khilafat? Those people, there were no such thoughts in their mind. Their whole purpose was the spiritual reformation and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, getting the ma'rifat of Allah ta'ala, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, however, the shaykh is now being ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that call this person back. Call this person back because he is a sincere person. So the shaykh quickly sends someone to him and orders him to come back. That it is the instruction of the shaykh that he wants you to come back. And just based on that sincerity and that ikhlas of his, he became very close to the shaykh and one of his favorites. And he was eventually known as Ali al-Khawas rahimahullah ta'ala, became a very pious person. All based on his ikhlas. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Wasiullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh makes mention of an incident with regards one great and pious person, and that is Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Muraj Abadi rahmatullah alayh, very pious person who used to get lot of kash. Hazrat Mawlana Mazhar Sahib Dhamma Barakatum also in his bayanat, in his majalis, also speaks of him and of his kash. So, on one occasion, there was a person that was in his khanqa, and that was in the masjid. So, something must have happened. Allahu alam what, this is not written, but Mawlana Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is quoting this incident. Mawlana Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is one of the senior khalifas of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi. So, Mawlana Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi quotes that Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali ordered this person to leave the masjid. Now, the sincerity of the person, so he refused to leave the masjid. So, Hazrat told him second time and third time. Eventually, took his stuffs, whatever his bedding and everything was, and put it outside the masjid. Now, today, if my sheikh has to do that to me, what would be my condition? What would be my reaction? See, if this is how he is insulting me in front of everyone, then this person is not fit to be a shaykh. He's insulting me. So I might as well leave here and go away. But this person didn't do that. He stayed there, he remained there. Now for those of us that are students, sometimes the ustad has to say, listen, leave and go away from here. Or the ustad has to take you out. Then what should be our reaction? Let us learn from this incident. And here we're not talking of a young person. We're talking of an elderly person. A person who would have had a beard. And now this is his islah that is taking place. I recall, I think I mentioned this also, maybe some time back. Please let us feel comfortable, sit however we are comfortable. It will be very informal. If you want to sit cross-legged, sit cross-legged, however. Don't, and if you need a chair, then by all means use a chair as well. Those of us that have got leg problem, knee problems. So don't force ourselves to sit for a very long period if we can't make ourselves comfortable. So many years ago, this was probably maybe over 20 years ago, Shaykh or Shaykh Hazrat Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was at our shores, and he was, alhamdulillah, we in Amzinto were blessed with the presence of our Shaykh or Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala. This was those days when this madrasa hadn't even been built. It was the house at the bottom, which used to be my late father, Abdullah Ali's, the madrasa was housed there. So it was a small place. Maybe the musalla itself was probably about 5 by 5 meters, about 25 square meters. The balance of that hall was a body. So it was in the morning time at about 9, 10 o'clock. It was madrasa time. And because Hazrat Abdullah Ali was invited, so he came, and he came straight to the madrasa. Hazrat Abdullah Ali was seated there, was conducting the majlis. And for those of us who have seen Hazrat's companion and his murid, and who was an ashiq, and he's an ashiq of Hazrat Abdullah Ali, and many of Hazrat Abdullah Ali's malfuzat and his mawa'iz, everything he has compiled and written down. And that is Hazrat Mir Sahib Daud Barakatuh, one of the senior khalifas of Abu Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali. So Mir Sahib Daud Barakatuh was seated in front of Abu Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was conducting the majlis, and Mir Sahib was sitting somewhere in front. Now Mir Sahib, mashallah, those of us that have seen him, have seen our, mashallah, his big beard, elderly person, and more or less the age of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, a little younger. So, it so happened. Now, these people, we must remember, don't let us misunderstand. These people, they stay late up at night. One is making ibadat of the Almighty Allah Ta'ala. They're making khidmat of the Shaykh, getting up at tahajjud time. The day starts very early. The night goes very late. After the bayan at night, then the khidmat and whatever else thereafter, getting up very early in the morning. So, while Hazrat Mir Sahib Daud Barakatuh was seated there in front of our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, suddenly he just dozed off. We all there, the small children, besides those that were traveling with Hazrat, maybe those two or three vehicles, we looked at 10, 15 people, balance all of them were students of the madrasa and young students. So, Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali saw that in front of everyone, the ulama, the muta'alliqeen, the students, the satira of the madrasa, whoever they were at that time, in front of everyone, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali told Hazrat Mir Sahib, "Khade ho jao, stand up." So immediately, no hesitation. Now, this is islah. Immediately, Hazrat Mir Sahib Daud Barakatuh immediately stood up. And it didn't stop there. After that, Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that we are speaking here and you are dozing off. He said, "What qadar have you got?" And he mentioned to him whatever for his Islam purposes. Hazrat just remained silent, Mir Sahib, and just looked down. And he kept him standing like that for a good few minutes in front of everyone. And after that, Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali told him, "Okay, now you sit down." Then he sat. But no expression on the face of feeling embarrassed or that why did you do this to me in front of everyone. I recall another incident of Hazrat Mir Sahib Daud Barakatuh. One occasion, this I read in one of Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali's majalis, that the result, or the end result was mentioned, what actually transpired, that wasn't mentioned, but there was something for which Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali reprimanded, in very stern words, he reprimanded Hazrat Mir Sahib Dawan Barakatuh, very stern words. So, that very same night, Hazrat Mir Sahib Dawan Barakatuh wrote a letter of Maafi, asking forgiveness to Isha. Now this is what we learn from our Mashayikh. And this will come with two things. One is these ikhlas, and the other is fana'iyat. Fana'iyat of irada, that is my desire, that I must have no desire before the desire of my shaykh. That whatever the desire of my shaykh is, that is what my desire would be. So I make fana and I annihilate myself, that I have got no desire. Whatever he tells me, that is what I will do. So however, when a person has got this fana'iyat, and when he's got this love, muhabbat, and he's also got ikhlas and sincerity, then you'll find this will be the result. So that night, Hazrat Mir Sahib Dawan Barakatuh writes to Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali and asking for forgiveness. And thereafter he quoted, or he sent a share to Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Now look at the Shaykh and look at the Murid. These are, you know, this is why we say Shaykh Kamil. That if they did anything, it wasn't for their personal selves or grudge or anything of that nature. It was solely keeping before them the Islah of the person. Now this is sometimes what we fail to understand. And as we've given the example just now, if there's an argument that has to take place between two people and this is taken to the Shaykh, and the Shaykh is now making a decision. Let's say it's a domestic problem between husband and wife. It's a domestic problem between husband and wife. Now the wife writes to the Shaykh of the husband, complaining to him of the problem that she is experiencing in the house. Now, without querying, without asking, the Shaykh calls the husband, who is his murid, and reprimands him. Now, under normal circumstances, if a problem of this nature is taken to someone, the correct thing that the person will do is call both parties, query what has happened, etc., and then whatever the decision is will be thereafter. So the point is this, that there will be an investigation into the matter, that she is saying this, you are saying this, does such a thing transpire or not, whatever. But now the Shaykh is calling the husband and without investigating the issue is reprimanding him. Now what is going on in this person's heart and mind? He is saying that, listen, this person should have asked me first what has happened. Or rather than asking me what has happened, or querying or investigating, he's rather telling me what to do. That don't do this and don't do this, and I don't want to see you doing this in future and whatever. He's feeling upset about it now. That why am I being told this? Little realizing that this is for his islah purposes. The Shaykh has got the right to do that. Yes, if it was someone else that this episode was taken to, then he will do that. He will investigate the matter. He will do whatever is required. But when you are taking to your Shaykh, when it has been taken to your Shaykh, then for your islah purposes, he may not go through that route. He may call you directly and tell you, listen, you do this or do that, without even investigating. Now this is that love that Shaykh has. And if the person, if there is fana'iyat in him, if he has humbled himself and if he has crushed those desires of his, that listen, I have given myself over to my Shaykh. Whatever he tells me, that is what I will do, keeping in mind once again, if it is a Shaykh Kamil. So now, this is what we are talking about. However, coming back to the incident that we were discussing of Hazrat Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali tells this person that you come out of here, you go away. Before we go to that, let us finish the incident of Hazrat Mir Sahab Damat Barakatuh. So Mir Sahab Damat Barakatuh writes these few words, writes this letter of apology and asks for mafi. I may forget what I'm saying, but there's something, because it is for Islah purposes, that is why I may just go a little bit off here and there. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Mazhar Sahab Damat Barakatuh was a Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali Fardoi. So many people didn't understand Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali and always felt that he was very hard. Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahab Damat Barakatuh mentions that when Hazrat used to go to Bangladesh, very great following Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali had in Bangladesh. So people used to flock to him. But of course, they used to be very scared for him too. So Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahab Damat Barakatuh mentions that sometimes, even maybe if it was ulama, that sometimes came, and if they had a problem, they would come, and if Hazrat got upset with them, they would come to Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahab Damat Barakatuh, who used to travel over from Karachi to go to be in the company of his Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh. So they used to come to Maulana Mazhar Sahab Damat Barakatuh and ask him to intercede for them on behalf of them to Hazrat Ala Rahmatullah Alayh. So because he had a close relationship with Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayh and his very beloved Khalifa as well, so Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahab Damat Barakatuh mentions that he used to tell these people, he said, listen, this is not the case. It is not that Hazrat is, you know, is very hard and stern and all. He said, what Hazrat wants to teach you that when you make a mistake, the only thing you do is that go forward and say, I've made a mistake. That is all that Hazrat wants from you. That build that courage, pick up that courage, and by way of writing or verbally, go and tell Hazrat, listen, Hazrat, maaf, ghalti ho gayi, this is my mistake, and see what happens. That is all Hazrat. And that is for a person to accept. Now that person will accept guilt or who will lower himself who has got tawazu. Now on the one hand, we are claiming to be talibin, and on the other hand, there isn't tawazu. How are these two things going to come? Go ahead. It's not going to happen. This very same Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali and Abu Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. Some observer has documented this. And he mentions that on one occasion, Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Ali went to his Shaykh, who was Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. We are talking about Islah. This is the whole purpose of Islah. So whatever Allah Ta'ala puts to mind, we will discuss. So Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, goes to Hardoi. That is where Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali used to be. His khanqa was there, madrasa is there. So observer says that at night there was a type of a majlis. They were great ulama. And who was Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Ali? He was that personality, that great ulama. They in Hardoi used to come to meet him, the likes of Hazrat Maulana Ali Mian Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, such a great alim, who was well known in the Arab world. So people of that caliber used to come to meet Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Ali when he used to be there at the Khanqa in Hardoi, his Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. So this person mentions that by night there was a majlis, pur ronak majlis, in which the ash'ar being read, and Hazrat Hakim Sahab on the one end is sitting, Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab, and if you look at them, and Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab and Rahmatullah Ali, and Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, age-wise they were not far from each other, but however, one was the Shaykh and one was the Murid, in spite of Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Ali being so high and being a Shaykh of so many Murids and everything. After his Shaykh passed away, then he took bayat at the hands of Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. And this is that one unique, this in that way we find the father and the son, both khalifas of the same Shaykh. Hazrat Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali's khalifa is Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Ali on the one hand, and his son Maulana Mazhar Sahab, both are khalifas of the same Shaykh. However, we're talking of fanaiyat, ikhlas, sincerity. So, Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Maulana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, this is the type of majlis that is taking place at night. Each one is mentioning some ash'ar, and especially ash'ar that are related to islah and these types of things. So this was the scene at night. Next day, Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is taking a letter of Islah that he had written to his Shaykh Maulana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Hakim Sahib once again remember that personality, such great ulama coming to meet him and this and that, so many murids and everything else. And he's gone there for his Islah. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Maulana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had an office in which he used to sit. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, having that envelope in his hand or that letter in his hand, he walked into the office. But as he walked into the office, Maulana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was seated there, and he immediately got upset and angry on who? This person who ulama are coming to meet him and who's got so many murids. And he reprimands him and tells him that, do you not see there is a notice outside? Do you not see that there is a notice outside? Don't come without informing. Go out for me. Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, such a great personality. Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali walks out and he waits there. And he knocks again, gets permission, and then comes inside. This is Islah. No matter who you are. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went to Hardoi. They in Hardoi. And the whole thing is kasre nafs, to crush our nafs. This is this Islah. So Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali went to Hardoi, and it was the method of our Islah of our Hazrat Wala, Maulana Abrar Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that when anyone came to Hardoi for Islah, then amongst the other things of Islah, this was also part of the person's Islah, that that person would be sent to the little children of the madrasa to make his Islah of the Quran and Majid, to correct the recitation of the Quran and Majid. The person would be sent there. Now, outwardly there's no need for that. Sometimes the person that came was an alim. Sometimes the person that came was a qari. But in spite of that, that is the routine you would have to go through. But what was that for? Was it because he didn't recognize the person's ability? He didn't know that this person can recite the Quran and Majid, and he's a good qari of the Quran and Majid? So no, there's no need. That wasn't the purpose, the maqsad. The maqsad is to break that nafs, that I am nothing. So sometimes we will find, now today if you have to tell an alim or a qari, go and sit there and let this little child make the islah of your Surah Fatiha and see how he feels about it. Alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of going to a Hardoi as well. But it was in those days, fortunately for me, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali wasn't there. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali was out on safar somewhere. So fortunately I wasn't sent to a child. There was another alim, so whoever was there in Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali's place sent me to him. So he sat and heard my Surah Fatiha. And not only heard, then he said, make islah of this and come, give your paper. This is your mistake. Or put it right and come, and I will listen to it again. Now all that, just I'm a qari and sabah qari and everything, you must forget all that. You nobody. You are now nobody. When you nobody, then you become somebody. So all that is what the attempt is. So, however, Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the same thing he has to go through, that go to these students. And as Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali didn't feel it against his maqam and his rank and his honor and dignity that, no, I can't. In fact, he said, instead of going with somebody else, I will go to these students. And I can recall even my ustad, who is now presently about 90 years of age, Hazrat Maulana Sher Ali Sahab Daun Barakatuh, the teacher of Hadith Sharif presently in the Shaykh al-Hadith of Darul Ulum Falahi Darain. He also made Islahi Ta'alluq with Hazrat Wala Maulana Abraul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. Initially he was bayat to Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, and thereafter he became bayat to Hazrat Maulana Abraul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. All these great, these akabirin, those that reached the door of Hazrat Maulana Abraul Haq Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, this was their tarbiyat. And this is where you start from. So one is, the murid must be, he must have that type of quality where there must be talab-e sadiq, that he must annihilate himself, that ikhlas must be there, that sincerity, that it is for the sake of Allah Ta'ala that I want to go to this person and rectify and correct myself. Thereafter, if coupled with the talab-e sadiq, you will find that whatever he has to go through thereafter, he will endure. He will understand that this is all for my islah. So that is from the talib's point of view, from the seeker's point of view. But you will find that the same shafqat, that love and that affection is in the heart of the shaykh as well. He is not there just to find faults. He is not there to ridicule. He wants to help and assist. When there are occasions of complimenting a person, he will compliment. And as we say, husla afzai, will make him feel better. So Hazrat Mir Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, writes this letter of apology to his Shaykh, Hazrat Hakim Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. Now look at the Shaykh. The Shaykh could have kept quiet about it. The Shaykh could have kept quiet about it and said, okay, that is sufficient. And if I'm going to mention anything about this murid of mine, he'll have pride in himself, or he'll become proud of himself that, listen, my Shaykh, he quoted me. Now the Shaykh knows where to draw the line. That is why we talk of a Shaykh Kamil. So in the next day's majlis, the Shaykh is now quoting what the murid had written to him. And what did the Shaykh quote? The Shaykh says that, listen, yesterday after my reprimanding this person, after reprimanding Mir Sahab, and this is the letter that he has written, and these are the couplets that he sent to me. And what were those couplets? When I had an opportunity, Allah Ta'ala gave the opportunity in the last days of our Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali, when he fell ill and he was bedridden. So Allah Ta'ala gave the tawfiq of going to Karachi. So there were a few moments that we had, alhamdulillah, of spending with Hazrat Mir Sahab, Daun Barakatum, as well. So when I went to Mir Sahab, Daun Barakatum, so I remembered this, these couplets of Hazrat Mir Sahab, Daun Barakatum, which we quoted by Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali, which are in the mawais of our Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali. So Mir Sahab began smiling, and he showed sign of happiness. And then there was one or two words there that I didn't understand, which I asked Hazrat Mir Sahab Daun Barakatum. So however, Hazrat Mir Sahab Daun Barakatum mentions to his Shaykh, now see, bitter medication, you being reprimanded and ridiculed in front of everyone, you know, as we say, jacked up, you know, you're jacking somebody. If somebody has to jack me in front of everyone else, how will I feel? I feel so belittled. Next time I won't come back to this person's majlis. Why? Because you jacked me up. But no, as Mir Sahab writes to his Shaykh after asking for mafi, he says, Hai wo khashm gi nigah, hai wo khashm gi nigah, qatile kibro ujbo jah. Hai wo khashm gi nigah, qatile kibro ujbo jah. Ab iske badle mein koi aur khushi na lo. So I didn't understand the words wo khashm gi nigah. That what is khashm gi? So I asked as Amir Sahab, Nandarakatum, that what is the meaning of this word? And Amir Sahab explained to me. So basically the meaning of this, now imagine here a person is being given bitter medication for his Islam, of course, and he's being jacked in front of everyone and everything else. But he writes, Hai wo khashm gi nigah, oh those fearful looking eyes. I mean, Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali used to get upset. We probably even saw it here sometime. And Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Ali used to get upset. You could see the effect of it in his eyes, in his face. Say, hai wo khashngi nigah. Oh, those fearful eyes. But fearful for what? Why do I find it fearful? And what do they do? What is the result of that fierce look? Not that look with, or that fear that a person gets after seeing a lion. But qatile kibro ujbo ja. Those fearful eyes, what do they do? What is the result of that one look? And that fierce look. Qatile kibro ujbo ja. It is the qatil, it is that which makes zabah and cuts through and breaks kibr, ujb and jah, that pride and arrogance that a person has. Just that one nigah of the shaykh is that cuts it and breaks it and finishes it. Hai wo khashmgi nigah, qatile kibro ujbo jah. Doesn't stop there. But see how he interprets the whole thing. Not that I am hurt with what you have told me. He says in turn, now let us listen to those young friends of ours. Sometimes our ustads tell us something that's hurting us. But see here, a person who's got love for the Shah, and a person who has understood the purpose and maqsad of ta'alluq with the Shah, ta'alluq with the wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his purposes, then see how he interprets these things. He doesn't feel offended, but rather, Hazrat Mir Sahib Dhamad Barakatuh says, and this is what made his Shah quote these verses of his in an am majlis thereafter, appreciating that, listen, this is a person that appreciates whatever is being done for him. He's not taking it personal, he's not feeling that I'm ridiculing him or embarrassing him in front of everyone for no reason, but he knows that it is for his islah purposes. So he says, hai wo khashmgi nigah, qatile kibro ujbo ja, ab iske badle aur koi khushi na loon. He says, this reprimanding of yours has brought such happiness to me that this is what I am here for. This is what I am here for. This is what my presence here is all about. He says that this happiness that it has brought my heart, there's no other happiness that I will exchange for this happiness which I have received via this. Now see, we're feeling offended and we're referring to it as a happiness. Now this is what Islah is all about. So, Hazrat Maulana Shah Fadhlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Alayh is now taking out this person from the masjid. Get out. Come out of here. This person doesn't want to come out. So, it reminds me of one waqiyah of Hazrat Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. So Hazrat Tanvi, I think it was ghaliban the incident with one of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh's khas khalifa. And so he took him out of the khanqa. So when he took him out of the khanqa, the murid went outside, took his bedding, everything, and he stood there. So now he's being observed. So this is true love, muhabbat, that under these things we don't get upset. So the murid is being sent out, he stands outside. He doesn't go away. He's being told, go away from me. Now look at the remark that he makes. He says that, Hazrat, the khanqa is your property. The khanqa is your property. You can take me out from there. This is not your property. I will stand here until such time I get re-entry. Now this is muhabbat. No offense. We've come here, this is Islah. So, as Mawla Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Alayh is taking this person out. He doesn't want to come out. Eventually, Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh holds his hand and is taking him out of the masjid. He still fights that back and he remains in the masjid. So, Mawla Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Alayh left him. He said, it doesn't matter, leave him there. Now came meals time. So, Hazrat Mawla Fazlur Rahman Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh told somebody, take some meals for him and go give it to him. Now look at the murid. So he took the meal, the food, but then presented it to him. This murid said, I don't want the meals. Murid said, I don't want the meal. So they came and informed Hazrat. Hazrat, this person said, I don't want the meal. They said, no, go give him the meals. Again he said, Hazrat himself came. He said, take these meals. And then Hazrat apologized and said that, listen, sometimes there are people that come here that whose intentions are incorrect. So this person says, Hazrat, mukhlis log bhi to aate hain. Mukhlis log to bhi to aate hain. That those that are sincere, they also come. So, in other words, those that are sincere, I'm not here for the food and for other things. I am here to make my islah. Hazrat asked him for mafi, Hazrat asked him for forgiveness. So this is what islah is all about. Hazrat, we mentioned at the beginning, that Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that the ways of islah are few. Now here, there isn't an interaction of that type where we are at the doorstep or at the feet of any sheikh or anything of that nature. As we've mentioned, that the intention initially was and is now to just to get together with some friends and revise our past sabaks and our lessons that we have forgotten, and to try and once again bring that desire in ourselves to make amal. That is all that was intended and that is intended. So it is not that type of a relationship. So this is where it fits in, that Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that the methods for one of making islah are four. There are four methods by means of which a person can make his islah. Now generally, when we think of islah, we think of only one method and we restrict it to that one method. And that is going to a sheikh or keeping the company of a sheikh, and that is all that we can think of or that we normally think of when we think of islah. That we must be at the feet of our sheikh, we must be able to be there or keep in constant communication with him, telephonically or by letter writing, all that in its place. But let us remember that we cannot be at all times with our sheikh. We cannot be at all times with these types of people. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives us the opportunity of being with them and other times not. Yes, there are those few individuals whom Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala blesses that for years on end they stay with their sheikh. Like in our country, we had one example of that, or we have one example of that, and that is Ibrahim Sahib Pandur, Damat Barakatuhum, who is the senior Khalifa of Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hasan Gangui Rahmatullah Ali. After he qualified in Dioban, Ibrahim Sahib Pandur, Damat Barakatuhum, he stayed in the company of his sheikh, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hasan Gangui Rahmatullah Ali, for a good period of time. And thereafter he came home to get married, and those that were there thought that he won't come back. And it didn't stop there. After Mona Ibrahim Sahib came, he married, he took his family and he went. And he continued in the khidmat of our Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hasan Sahib Gangui Rahmatullah Ali. He continued, and right up to the end, to this extent that Allah Ta'ala gave him the good fortune, that it was because of him, outwardly the sabab, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has blessed the soil of South Africa to have a wali like Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Hasan Sahib Gangui Rahmatullah Ali to be buried here. So these are the things that we need to appreciate. So however, but this we don't get all times. Sometimes there are some fortunate souls that have this lengthy period of interaction and staying in the company of the mashayikh. But that's not there all times. It is not there all times. At the same time, the need of our islah is there at all times. The need of our islah is there at all times. So how does one achieve his islah at all times when he's not with his sheikh at all times? Sometimes we will even observe that even if a person says that I keep regular communication with my sheikh, it is on the spur of the moment a person needs advice at that spur of the moment, and he's unable to reach his sheikh. Or that when he's communicating by way of writing, because of the volume of correspondence that his sheikh gets, he's not able to respond immediately. So there's some period of time before the person gets his response. So what happens in that interim period? So the person is in constant need of his islah. At the same time, the ta'alluq with the sheikh is not there in that physical contact all the time. So as Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali mentions beautifully, that there are four ways that a person can achieve his islah. And let us listen to this very carefully, and it will help us, inshallah. One Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Ali has been quoted to mention The one way of making one's islah is, as we've just mentioned, is the relationship with one's shaykh. The relationship with one's shaykh. Constant relationship, communication, going and visiting one's shaykh, staying in the presence of one's shaykh for whatever period of time for our islah purposes. That is one. And alhamdulillah, we all know that sufficiently. Of course, in the Quran and Majid also, we may have heard this ayat several times quoted, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. That spend our time with the pious, with the sadiqeen, etc. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions a second way of a person making his islah. And he says that the second way of one making one's islah is via one's friends. Via one's friends or associates. Now, let us just analyze this. That if a person has good friends, and let's not go to friends, but before that, let us look at within our homes. Those of us whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given spouses, those of us that are married, our spouses. Now, islah can be made within the spouses. Sometimes we will find that there's something that I am doing is incorrect. And the spouse has picked it up. And she is telling me that, listen, this supposed to be done like this, or this is against the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is how we're supposed to be doing it. Now, am I going to have this attitude and say that no, because my shaykh hasn't told me, I'm not going to be accepting this? Or I will wait until I will write to him and I will ask him the day he says me that, listen, no, this is how you do it, then I will do it. No. So even through our friends, our associates, our partners, we can make our islah and vice versa. There's something that is contrary to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as far as our eating is concerned. The wife comes from a family where the amal is made on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to sit on the floor and eat. Of course, with muhabbat, with shafqat, it is being mentioned that let us sit on the floor and eat because this is a sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There our islah is being made. So do I have to wait for the shaykh to tell me that, listen, you need to do this, then only I will do it? And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned so beautifully that here your islah can be made even through your friend. In our workplaces, provided we have sincere friends, and those friends who are there that will help us building our taqwa. That is why we say have those types of friends. And have that type of a relationship and understanding with my sincere friend. That is why we call this a sincere friend. But tell him, and so he should tell you, that if you see anything that is wrong in me, now your shaykh is not there to see it. Because my shaykh will only see, that is why I'm just thinking of something. My shaykh, Yunus Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, one occasion was gone for Umrah. And on his return, he stopped in Jeddah. Or was going to take the flight from there, so it was a day or two in advance that he was in Jeddah. So, Hazrat Ramtullah is, our Hazrat Wala Ramtullah is Khulafa. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Ramtullah is some Khulafa. Hazrat Mawlana Abrar Haq Sahib Ramtullah is some Khulafa. In Jeddah, they came to know of Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahimullah Ta'ala's presence in Jeddah. And there was a unique type of muhabbat that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala had placed in the hearts of everyone for our Hazrat Ramtullah. And especially in the hearts of those that had ta'alluq with Hazrat Wala Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, for the simple reason that Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayh has a lot of muhabbat for our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. Lot of muhabbat. So however, they invited our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, they got together and they asked Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh, although they were senior khulafa of their shaykh, the caliber of Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, Khalifas of Hazrat Mawlana Abrar Al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. Now those types of people are asking our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi to come and address them. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi went. And from amongst the things that our Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi, now he's speaking to an audience who are not ordinary people. But in spite of that, our Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi is explaining to them that how Islah should be made. And what is the ingredient, important ingredient in Islah? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned to them, amongst other things, he says that one thing that we lack in. He said, what happens, why our Islah is generally not made? And why it is only restricted sometimes just to that ta'alluq and just to that relationship. No, this is my shaykh and I am his murid, and on occasions I will go meet him and so forth, and it stops there. But that spiritual upliftment that I supposed to be experiencing, why is it that through or via this ta'alluq and this relationship I am not achieving that? Why is it I'm not achieving it? So Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned beautifully. He said, listen, the one reason that we do not find the spiritual upliftment, Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that we restrict our relationship with our shaykh to those aspects of ourselves which we find good in ourselves. I've got some good in myself. For instance, I can spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has given me a heart to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or whatever good I find myself, I perform my salah regularly, I am regular with takbir-e-ula, all the beautiful dreams that I have. So these types of things I communicate with my shaykh and I keep on telling him. And what happens? My shaykh will tell me what I'm going to tell him, or he's going to respond to me according to my communication with him. He is not alimul ghaib that he will know what my weaknesses are. So I am telling him all my good, that alhamdulillah I'm performing my salah on time, I'm regular with my zikr and adhkar, and with my tahajjud salah, and everything else, all the good that he has in him, he's relating to his shaykh. And also the good dreams that he has about his shaykh and whatever else. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that unfortunately, when it comes to our weaknesses, then there we are not prepared to expose ourselves to our shaykh. Those things we hide. Those things we conceal. Why? If I'm going to tell my shaykh, what is he going to think of me? He's going to think that I've got jealousy in me. He's going to think that I've got hatred in me. He's going to think that I've got muhabbat of this world and the wealth of this world in my heart. So what is it? Because I think that from what I look to him, I think that he has an impression of me to be a very good person and a very pious person. But now if I'm going to start opening up my faults and if I'm going to start divulging all this information to him, then there's going to be a very bad impression that he's going to be having about me. So now because of that, or that those thoughts that are in the mind, I'm not mentioning and I'm not revealing this to my shaykh. The result is this, that those weaknesses and those spiritual sicknesses that I have of hasad, of jealousy, of muhabbat of the wealth of this world, of deceiving, deception, lying, vulgar language and listening or using the gazes incorrectly and everything else. Now imagine if I have to write to my shaykh and tell him that, listen, I'm going to the airport but I cannot control my eyes. How am I going to say it? I'm going to be feeling that, listen, my shaykh, this shaykh is 40, 50 years of age and he still can't control his eyes. Now, because of that, I'm not mentioning it to my shaykh. What will happen? The person will die with that sometimes and he won't be cured of it. Why he's not speaking of it? I recall an incident. Sometimes because of this feeling of shyness that a person has. Now, these are the places we suppose, we're not saying that we go and reveal our weaknesses before everyone. But when Allah Ta'ala has given us that opportunity and those avenues where we can go and get ourselves treated, then why there are we feeling the same? And alhamdulillah, I've mentioned it previously also, that this thought that comes to our mind that our shaykh will think low of us, we must forget that. They are not there for that, to think low of anybody. In fact, there's a Urdu saying, Jab giri nigahe apni burai par, to dunya mein koi burai burai na rahi. This is their condition. Jab giri nigahe apni burai par, to dunya mein koi burai burai na rahi. When my gaze fell onto my own weaknesses and my faults, then no fault and no weakness in the world remained any weakness. I got no time then to watch anybody else's weakness. That is why one pious person even mentioned that the one way to gain, that why we don't gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why our du'as not accepted. When we say, Ud'uni astajib lakum, and Allah Ta'ala says, Ud'uni astajib lakum, that call to me and I will answer. Why is it that our du'as are not accepted? For amongst the many things that have been mentioned, one is this, that my gaze is on the fault of others rather than being on my own faults. My gaze is on the fault of this person is doing this, and that person is doing this, and that person has got jealousy. This person is attached to the world. This person is not particular about his namaz. He comes late for salat. He's doing this. But my own faults that I'm not prepared to speak about, I'm not even worried about those faults. So how is one's islah going to take place? And that avenue which we have to rectify ourselves, there also we do not want to reveal ourselves. There was an incident which I've mentioned in the past as well. There was a woman. And there came a time in her life when a stench began emanating from her body. And those close family people, her sisters and whoever were there, began telling her sister, "Listen, there's something wrong, you know. There's a type of stench that's emanating from you. Why don't you go and have a shower or something?" So she even concealed it at that time, and to try and camouflage that with the use of perfumes and whatever else. But that stench became stronger and stronger, and these people couldn't take it anymore. And they realized that in spite of asking her to take a shower, and in spite of using all the deodorants and everything else, still she couldn't. Still that smell, that stench was emanating. So when they approached her thereafter, she told them that, "Listen, I need to tell you something." "What is it?" By the way, just on this odor thing, I just want to divulge a little bit, you know. For women folk, we know that there's parda in everything. Now we must be careful. Sometimes we think that they've got the best of parda. Of course, this parda, what we talk of, where they go on with niqab and that, that is the least form of parda. The highest form of parda for a woman is to stay indoors. The highest form of parda for a woman is to stay indoors. Out of necessity, if she has to go out, then this is the parda that she should adopt. However, sometimes we feel satisfied that, okay, the woman has got the parda and the niqab and that is sufficient. But let us be informed that, and let us know fully well, that this is not the only thing that attracts. Aren't we attracted to fragrance? A person has got beautiful ether on him. Aren't we attracted to that person? Now, our women folk, donned in parda and niqab and hijab and everything else, but with the best of perfumes, is that not also an inviter? Is that also not an inviter? Therefore, go beyond that. Within our homes, when we have our families at home, we need to tell them that if there's someone that phones, then let us not be sweet on the phone when answering. They also be stern. If someone feels that you are abrupt, that the wife or the daughter is abrupt, let it be so. And it should be so, so that the person doesn't think of phoning the second time. Or even if he has to phone, it will only be out of necessity. It will not be just to, because voice is such a thing, it's also captivating. Voice also, there's attraction in voice as well. Some people have just fallen in love with somebody just by hearing the voice. We find so many qaris, when they recite the Quran and Majid in a beautiful, see how people fall in love with them. So voice is also an attraction. Fragrance is also an attraction. Similarly, the face and the beautiful features that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, that is also an attraction. So however, these are things that attract. Therefore, on one occasion I mentioned that just as we get deodorants and this beautiful smell, maybe somebody should invent something which has got a bad odor. And just as we put those sprays when you go out, so the women folk should put that before going out. And that is accounted. Or don't use anything, or then if you really want to use, then use something that which will really, person will stay very, very far. As Hakim Sahib, Ramatullah Ali mentions, this one, this is just coming to mind, something that I read. As Hakim Sahib, Ramatullah Ali mentions that if a person is going past a gathering of young women, so he says, that immediately turn your gaze away from there. Immediately turn your gaze away from there and contemplate that they are here, buddhiya, in other words, old women, you know, teeth fallen off, grey hair, and some on this side, some on that side, and wrinkled faces. Just think that it is, then see if you would like to look there. So that is the muraqabah of Hazrat Ramatullah Alayh. So there are things that we have to, look at the environment today. There's so many things that are becoming a means of attraction. I mean, if it wasn't there, look at the deodorants, look at all these things that are there on the market today. What have they been created for? And why are they there? And why do women folk spend so much on it? And why is it that most of them use it when they're only going out and not in the home? Let us ask ourselves this question. However, coming back to the incident, so this woman says that, listen, after a period of time, and because it is now causing you inconvenience, and you are becoming concerned about me, I want to expose to you something, and I want to tell you the reality. She says that, I've realized some times ago that I'm suffering from cancer of the breast. But I felt it embarrassing, and I felt very ashamed of myself to bring it to anyone's notice. And this disease, the sickness, kept on progressing to the extent that I am now rotten inside. I am now rotten inside, and this is the stench that you are experiencing. So they all became alarmed. So, okay, now what do we do? So immediately everything started falling in place, take her to this doctor and that specialist and do everything else. Treatment started and whatever other methods of treatment for cancer and with immediate effect. But it was a short period thereafter that she passed away. The point we wish to make is that sometimes spiritually we have such type of weaknesses that destroy us. But because we are not prepared to speak about them, seek assistance from those people that are qualified to give us assistance in that particular department, and more especially after putting our trust in them, and after putting our hands in their hands, then too we are ashamed of telling them, then what is it going to cause? Just as in that woman's case, that cancer reached such a position and such a stage that eventually it cost her life. It mustn't happen, Allah forbid, that we leave this world in such a way that these weaknesses, they keep on progressing and progressing and progressing to the extent, Allah forbid, that at the time of maut, we are deprived of our iman. Allah make hifazat. This is how important this is. So Imam Ghazali Ramtullah Ali mentions that the one way of making islah is through our friends. In our workplaces, we have got our friends. When we are traveling, we also have friends. We have friends when we are traveling. At that time, our shaykh is not with us. You are on the flight, the shaykh is not with you there. And even if you want to communicate at that time, the 9 out of 10 cases also do, although today we do have those conveniences where we can communicate, but 9 out of 10 cases we cannot communicate at that time, but you've got your sati with you. You've got your friend with you. Can't we communicate with him? Can't I ask him? And if he sees something wrong in me, if he sees something, a defect in me, he must be able to tell me, and that is the friendship, and that is the demand of true friendship. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Advice, because this helps the mu'mineen. Now, sometimes we can become unmindful. We can become ghafil. So at that time, if it is the wife that is there, now let us not feel offended that who is this person to tell. Sometimes it is my student that is there. I remember my ustad, Hazrat Qari Anis Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, a very great alim and also a qari. So he told us about an incident. Now imagine an alim, a qari, and he's a person that had ta'aluk with Hazrat Mawla Masihullah Sahib rahmatullah alayh, the type of a person. So he mentioned on one occasion, at that time he was in Lucknow, he was teaching in Lucknow that time, and he used to make imamat as well. But he was a sickly type of a person and a weak person. However, he was in Salah. After Salah, an ordinary person comes and tells him very respectfully, Hazrat, your sitting posture in Salah was incorrect. Your sitting posture in Salah was incorrect. Now, who is mentioning it? It is not the Shaykh that is mentioning it. So if it is not the Shaykh, must I get angry? Who are you to come and tell me how I am sitting? Or why don't you ask me why I am sitting like this? Oh boy, Jazakallah, I appreciate it that you have come and told me. Or you have informed me, Jazakallah. Or the student comes and tells me that sometimes it can happen. There was one Shaykh, for some reason, because he had a bit, his stomach was a bit bloated. So the lungi that he had went away slightly below the ankles. Now there, I can recall not very long ago, on one occasion, I think it was a Eid al-Adha occasion, so I had pants on, we were doing Qurbani. So although I didn't mention this to anyone, but I think today is an opportunity for me to mention it. So it was one of that trousers that, you know, this raincoat trousers that, you know, is quite slippery. So it was a bit long and I folded it, not realizing that whilst I was busy in whatever, so that thing went below the ankles. Now my son was there, Qari Ahmad. So he came and he lifted it, he folded it up. He folded it up. Now, should I be offended with that? Should we take offense to that? If the wife tells me something, should I feel offended? As Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, is many, if we are talib al-sadiq, if you are sincere in the fact that we want to make our islah, then this is also a method that whether it's in the home, whether it is at the workplace, whether it is in our travels, wherever our islah can still take place. We do not have to mention that, listen, my shaykh is not with me, or that my shaykh has passed on from this world, so now there's no one that I can make islah. So, time is gone. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to make amal on whatever has been mentioned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of us looking at different aspects of our islah and making our islah and not feel offended. Of course, there's methods of making islah also, of telling someone, shouldn't be in an offensive way. It should be in a way that is with a lot of respect, muhabbat and shafqat, like our mashayikh do. And also, we need to understand occasions of islah also. Now, we've heard occasion of islah. But from our side, if we were to make someone's islah, then we must know where to make that islah. Hazrat Thanvi Ramtullah Ali was once traveling, and there was a person in the same coach. So Hazrat Thanvi Ramtullah Ali, so signs of Islam were on this person, he's Muslim. So Thanvi Ramtullah Ali told him that his trouser was below the ankles. So Thanvi Ramtullah Ali respectfully told him that, by, you know, just raise your trouser, put it above. So this person, this youngster, turned around and asked Hazrat Thanvi Ramtullah Ali, that where is it mentions? So Thanvi Ramtullah Ali explained to him that this is the ruling and demand of Sharia. So he turned around and told Hazrat Thanvi Ramtullah Ali, tumari Shariat ACVC, your Shariat like this. Thanvi Ramtullah Ali became alert and he started regretting. He said that it would have been better for me to keep silent and let this person be involved and engaged in that guna, rather than allow him to say such words that can cost him his iman. Because when the person ridicules the Sharia, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then where's the person's iman? So Thanvi Ramtullah Ali then made it his principle that he would not admonish anybody, and he would not just tell anyone whom he didn't have the hope that this person would listen to me, or if he didn't know me. So therefore, we need to be careful about this also. There's occasions for everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq, hidayat and guidance. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. The program after Maghrib, inshallah, we hope for Mawlana Ilyas sahab, da'am barakatuhum, the Khalifa of Allah, Hazrat Ala, rahmatullahi alayhi, and also brother of my Shaykh, Mawlana Yunus sahab, rahmatullahi alayhi. He has accepted an invitation to be here for after Maghrib. So inshallah, for after Maghrib, till whatever time he will be here to address us, he will be here. Inshallah, thereafter, he wants to make a shine in Spingo. So if Allah Ta'ala was after Maulana completes his nasihat, then we will have supper. But just before we depart, just one request. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us this opportunity together, and because it is on this unwan, this topic of Islah, and it is also an occasion for us to get some encouragement and courage. There's one sunnah that many of us have, or there's one sunnah that is discarded by many of us as far as Salah is concerned. And maybe as from today, after Maghrib, inshallah, we will make an attempt. Let us all make this attempt to complete the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which has a lot of merit in it, a lot of rewards in it. The rewards are there if Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq. Maybe if not this occasion, some other occasion, we'll enumerate these benefits. But however, as far as our salah is concerned, not long ago, I was with one of my ustads in Miyasa, Mawla Ibrahim Miyasa, Abdaman Barakatuh. And he told me, somebody came and told him that, you know, in your Zarurat al-Muslimin or in your kitabs, you've got, you know, that Fajr Salah is 4 rakats, understood. Zuhar Salah is 12 rakats. And Asr Salah is 8 rakat, Maghrib Salah is 7, and Isha is 17. You need, there's something wrong here. So Fajr is 4, it's okay, you leave that at 4. But Zuhar, make it only 10. And Asr, make it only 4. And Maghrib, make it only 5. And Isha, make it only 7 or 9. So he said, but why? He said, no, you'll write all this, that there's so many rakat in Zuhar, 12 rakat. There's 8 rakat in Asr, there's 7 rakat in Maghrib, 17 rakat in... But we only observe people, as far as when it comes to Asr, we're only reading that 4. Or when it comes to Maghrib, we just read our 3 rakat farz and the 2 rakat sunnat, and the nawafil are totally out. In Isha Salah, we just read our 2 rakat sunnat and 3 rakat witr, and we are over. Let us bring the sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam back to life. Let each one of us try in our own localities, try and implement it into ourselves, get our children to implement it. And as we said, Islah, we don't have to wait for the Shaykh to do. And when we are going home with Muhabbat, with Shafqat, the family, tell them also, get them accustomed to reading the complete Salah. So inshallah, today whilst we are here, we will make an attempt for Maghrib, at least read the 2 rakat sunnat, the 2 rakat nafil. And as Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi used to mention, that there's rewards that have been mentioned for that person who performs 6 rakat nafal after, or 6 rakat after the farz of Maghrib. So Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi used to mention that even if a person performed 2 rakat awabin after the 2 rakat nafal, then inshallah this will fall under that 6 rakat. So we are here for this purpose. Let us make this intention, Ya Allah, this is a humble asayu minna wal itmamu min Allah. If this can be just one action and one amal that we can take and go from here, just one amal, it is worth it our coming here. Inshallah, let us all make this intention and try, encourage others, go into our locality. If in a masjid, one person starts, the next person, it goes to the next person, he sees you starting, you will get the reward of the next person. For instance, there are a few satis from Shepson. Now, if those few satis are in one masjid, and 5-6 of them are performing that, others may see and they may get encouraged. You'll see gradually the musallis that are going to be reading that extra salah will also increase. And inshallah, the day may come where every musalli in the masjid will not leave without reading the complete salah. So let us bring this environment, let us bring this mizaj and this mahol into our masajid, into our homes, into our families, that read our complete. Yes, if there is some pressing demand for us to leave immediately after the salah, then it's a different thing. But otherwise, let us try and complete our... That is why we are a bit delayed. But just one thing, sometimes what happens, the moment we finish, then shaitan puts this thought into our mind that, listen, you need to do this, you need to do that, so you need to... So a person gets up in it. So therefore, although it may not be the idea to combat that, just one prescription which Allah Ta'ala just put to mind, that sometimes this is what happens to us. Or the moment I make salam, someone is waiting for me. So just for a start, just to get us started, just one simple method is that, although it is not the ideal thing, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Sahib Rahmatullahi, all his life almost he didn't sit and read Salah. But just for us to get a start on this, the moment we finish our 2 rakats sunnat of Maghrib for argument's sake, and if I know this, if I'm going to stand, I may just walk out. So while seated, start the sunnat, the Nafil Salah. Just for a start. So you know that there's no one, you're not giving yourself a chance for someone to speak to you, or to even get up to say that, no, I'm tired, or some thought. The moment you finish your 2 rakat sunnat, even in that sitting position, the sawab may not be there complete. But to give us the habit, make dua, this is a humble effort that can start from our side. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the niyat. Inshallah, Allah ta'ala will then give the tawfiq to complete our salah. Wa akhir da'wana.